Alrighty. Chag Sameach. Shabbat Shalom. And hello to everybody who is watching with us today. Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. A wonderful time. And I want to give a message today because it's a very special day every year on Yom Teruah. You know, the first day of the seventh month, the only Hagim on the new moon. But also, it's very special because we know that also Yeshua was born on this day. I've done messages on this before about the star of Bethlehem. That's the way we know it. But it was September 11th, you know, interesting date, in 3 BC when Yeshua was actually born. So today I want to give a message called Biblical Evidence for the Virgin Birth and the Pre-existence of Yeshua. Because his birth would really mean nothing if we don't understand who he is. And, you know, 2 Thessalonians 2:3, I'm just going to read the beginning of that verse. It says, "Do not let anyone deceive you in any way, because that day," you know, the end time, the wrath of Yahweh, "will not come unless first there comes a great rebellion." A great rebellion, some translations put a falling away, and a falling away is a rebellion, literally the word is rebellion. So we are living in that time. We are seeing it. And, you know, it started some years back with tiny things like maybe the calendar and some technical issues that to me is not a great falling away, but you don't want to be different on anything. But now, like anything else, once you opened up the floodgates for deception, you will get down. Human nature will stop at nothing. And that's why Satan looks at any little device that he can use to get to Yahweh's people, and then he magnifies it, pushes in more. But now to the point where literally there are people believing that Yeshua never pre-existed. How on earth can he be the Messiah if he didn't? And not believing in the virgin birth, which is unbelievable. And if you get to that point, then you really can't believe in the New Testament. And that's usually the next point. Once people get to the point where, you know, they're denying Yeshua's deity and they're denying the virgin birth, the next step is you've got to deny the New Testament, because it's everywhere in the New Testament, as we're going to see. So we're going to go over it today. I've done messages on this going back. We have several messages, full messages, just on Yeshua being Elohim and pre-existing. I'm not sure if I have any message just on the virgin birth. I do have messages on Yeshua's lineage and go into the virgin birth there. So let's get started with those two points. The two things I'm going to do today, number one, is prove Yeshua is Elohim. And number two, prove he came in the flesh as a human being through the virgin birth. Genesis 1:1. Let's start in Genesis 1:1. Because Bereshit, that's the Hebrew word, means in the beginning. So where better place to start than in the very beginning, where Yahweh always works, and we know he works in the circular. So the beginning goes to the end, and then the end comes back to the beginning, because Yahweh never changes. So in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Bereshit, Elohim, bara, right? So we see that the very, very first verse in Scripture, it doesn't say in the beginning, Eli, or Eloah, which would be singular, but Elohim, which is plural. So right in the beginning, it's saying Elohim, plural. Now, granted, in Hebrew, sometimes the use for Yahweh, or the use for deity, is plural to magnify his presence. So unlike English, in the Hebrew, you also have the verb, you have the pronouns that you can see if it's talking about plural, which doesn't always tell anyway, because since they're Echad, Yeshua and Yahweh, and they're united, sometimes it could even be a singular verb, but be plural. But here, if we go down to verse 26, right, and Elohim, plural again, not Eli or Eloah, but Elohim said, "Let us make mankind in our image." The pronoun is plural. There definitely is two of them. It is more than one. Now, what do the rabbis say? The rabbis really don't have an answer for this. And they say, oh, he's talking to the angels, but we're not created in the image of cherubs. We are created in the image of Elohim. So very, very clearly right here, Elohim said, let us make man in our image. There's more than one. No way about it, period. There's more than one person here. And we see it. We see it as you go into Genesis 6 with the flood. You see it with the Tower of Babel. You see it with even as you go into Adam and Eve and their sin, you know, and Genesis 3 and verse 22, and Yahweh Elohim, again, plural Elohim, said, behold, the man has become as one of us, as one of us. So there's no way you can get around here. And a matter of fact, if you do a study, go through the whole Bible on all the scriptures just talking about creation, it's always in the plural, you know. In Ecclesiastes 12, remember your creators, it's in the plural. And one scripture I'll go to here very quickly is Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48, because Isaiah 40 to Isaiah to the end of the chapter is all talking about the Messiah. It starts with the Messianic. It's like a whole different book from Isaiah 40 on, going into all the millennial scriptures. But from Isaiah 40, it's the messenger of Yahweh. It's the servant of Yahweh over and over and over. So we see they're not the same being. Yahweh is one being, Yahweh the Father, and Yeshua the Son is another being. But they are both Elohim. And actually both are called Yahweh because Yahweh is a family name. So when we go to Isaiah 48, right, talking about the Messiah here, verse 13 says, my hand surely founded the earth. And my right hand has stretched out the heavens. My right hand. Who is the right hand of Yahweh? Like my right hand man, right? The right hand of Yahweh is Yeshua. I called to them, they stood up together. Now look at verse 15. I have spoken, yea, I have called him. I brought him, and he causes his way to prosper. Yahweh talking about the Messiah, the Mashiach. But look at verse 16. When the Mashiach is speaking, he says, come near to me, hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, right? He was there. From its existence, I was there. That's the Messiah speaking, and look what he says. And now, Adonai Yahweh and his Spirit has sent me. So the Mashiach is there, and Yeshua is the Creator from the very beginning. Let's go now to John 1:1, right? John, the book of John in the beginning is paralleling the book of Genesis. It's, you know, it's like I said, Yahweh works in the circular. Genesis is the beginning of, you know, the creation, and John is going to that in his book. So John 1:1 says, in the beginning, right? Just like we see in Genesis Bereshit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. He, the Word, was in the beginning with Elohim. Everything existed through his hands, and without him, right, the Word, the Messiah, not even one thing existed of the things which have existed. So he created everything. He was there from the beginning. He wasn't created. And then look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And we beheld his glory. Glory is as an only begotten one from the Father, full of grace and truth. So, like I said, if you're going to believe that Yeshua did not pre-exist, and you're going to believe that the virgin birth didn't happen and Yeshua was just a human being born on the earth, you pretty much have to stop believing in the New Testament. And really, for that matter, you have to really stop believing in the Bible. Because here we're going over in the Tanakh. It's over and over and over again. The right hand of Yahweh, the messenger of Yahweh. Like we see, every creation scripture talks about it in the plural. So you might as well start reading the Quran or something else. But if you're not going to believe, this is exactly what Scripture's saying. And it's not one or two scriptures. You know, like the ones who are trying to deny Yeshua as a family, they misinterpret like one scripture where it says, I, Yahweh, I alone, meaning that everything is separated from Yahweh, that all life comes from Yahweh. It doesn't mean there's nobody with him. Because even the rabbis admit there are cherubs that are there. We see in heaven. Yahweh's not up there by himself with nobody around him. No, there's a 24 elders, there's a heavenly court, there's cherubs all over and singing, and there's Yeshua at his right hand. 13 scriptures, 13, maybe more, I counted at least 13, that say Yeshua right now is sitting at the right hand of the Father. They are not the same being. There's Yahweh the Father, there is Yeshua Yahweh the Son. But Yahweh, as we'll see, is a family name, and they were both there from creation. Then we go to John 1:1. 1 John 1:1. It says, we announce to you who was from the beginning, like we just saw. Now, it's very interesting because when you look in the verb tense here, who was, it literally doesn't matter which is the Greek or the Aramaic, they both say the same thing. Who was from the beginning, meaningly, not who was became, not who was created or became, but was. He was, he is to come. He has no beginning, he has no end. Very simple. Who was from the beginning, who we have heard, who we have seen with our eyes, who we beheld, and who our hands touch, we declare to you is the word of life. The word of life. So very, very clearly, who was, not who was created, not who became, but who was. Micah 5:2. Another scripture that we see from the Tanakh. Micah 5:2. And you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, being least among the thousands of Judah, out of you he shall come forth, who? The Mashiach. The rabbis also believe this is a messianic scripture. Out of you he shall come forth to me to become one ruling in Israel. And his goings forth have been from of old, from the days of eternity. The Hebrew word there is ha'olam, from the days of eternity. Meaning, there is no stronger term in Hebrew for eternity, of having no beginning and no end, in ha'olam. And that's what it says. The Messiah is not created, but he comes from eternity. Believe your Bible, don't you believe your Bible. So the people that are believing this and trying to teach it are evil. They really are evil. And it's a sinister plot that, you know, they're going to the rabbis who have denied Yeshua's, being the Messiah for 2,000 years. But they are not going to the Bible. They are not going to the Tanakh, and they're not going to the Brit Hadashah. Both of them confirming Yeshua is an eternal being. He's been there forever. He was not created. And as we'll see, the virgin birth is again in the Tanakh, in the prophets, and also in the Brit Hadashah. So let's continue here. Genesis 18, right? What happens in Genesis 18? Very interesting scripture. Genesis 18:1, right? No one has ever seen Yahweh. Doesn't it say that in 1 John? I mean, not 1 John. In John 1:18, no one has seen Yahweh at any time. The only begotten Son, who is the bosom of the Father, that one declares him, right? So no one has seen Yahweh the Father, right? Remember Moses said, let me see you, and he said, you can't see me and live. And he saw the shadow, or he saw what was to come in the future, but he did not see Yahweh face to face. But here in Genesis 18:1, and Yahweh appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, and he was sitting at the door of the tent in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And he saw, and he ran to meet them at the entrance, and he bowed to the ground. So here it is, three men are there. One is called Yahweh, one is Yahweh. And yet, it's not Yahweh the Father. Because we see in the next chapter, two of these men are cherubs, right? They're the ones that come to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And the third one, that is Yahweh, who's telling Abraham what's going to happen, we see in Genesis 19:24 that this Yahweh character, right, that's from Genesis 18 that I just read, Yahweh appearing to Abraham, the Yahweh that was on the earth with Abraham rained down fire and brimstone from Yahweh out of the heavens. Two Yahwehs. Why? Because Yahweh is a family name. Same way my name is Esposito. My name is Don Esposito. I'm the son. My father is Alfred Esposito. He is my father. We are both Espositos because Esposito is the family name. Yahweh is the father. Yeshua Yahweh is the son. That's what the scripture says over and over and over again. Yahweh is a family. And I have people that must just be blinded, that can't have the Holy Spirit, that write me sometimes and say, I know you say Yahweh is a family, Don. I don't see it. How can you not see it? We're going to read it over here over and over and over. Yahweh is a father. Yeshua is a son. How can, what more do you need for a family? And we see the congregation even called the mother. We see that in the book of John, 2nd and 3rd John. So here as we continue here, John 17:5. And now, Father, glorify me with yourself, right? Two different beings. With the glory I had with you before the existence of the world. Yeshua had glory with Yahweh, his Father, before the existence of the world. He preexisted. Like I said, I have full messages just on this, more than one, and I have about 100 scriptures I can go over today. I'm just going over some to show, prove clearly Yeshua preexisted. But if you want to look online on our website. Like I said, there's other messages. Did Yeshua pre-exist? Is Yeshua Elohim? I have different messages that are on this. Psalm 45. Psalm 45, another great messianic psalm, verse 5 through 7. Psalm 45, verse 5. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. People fall under you. Your throne, O Elohim, Elohim the Father, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. Or rather, this is talking about Elohim the Son. I'm sorry, this is the Messiah. Your throne, O Elohim, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. It's talking about the Messiah and his messianic kingdom. And then it says, you love righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, Elohim, your Elohim. So Elohim, the Messiah, has an Elohim who is the Father, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your fellows. So the Messiah is called Elohim, and the Father is called Elohim. Very, very clear. Acts 2 and verse 32. Acts 2 and verse 32. And this is why the Aramaic is so great, because the Aramaic brings things out that we don't get in the Greek, which is a translation. Not a bad translation, but still a translation. So Acts 2 and verse 32. Acts 2 and verse 32. Says, this Yeshua Elohim raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Then being exalted to the right of Yahweh, right? He's the right hand of Yahweh. And receiving the promise of the Ruach HaKodesh from the Father, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heaven, but says, Yahweh said to my Adonai, sit at my right hand. Psalm 110, also showing two Yahwehs. The Messiah is called Yahweh in Psalm 110, and Adonai, which is a title only for Yahweh, right? But what is he saying here? Until I place those who are enemies as your footstool for your feet. Peter, the Apostle Peter, Kepha, is showing that King David is not the Messiah. That was not the prophecy. The prophecy was a son of yours will come, who is the Messiah. And that's what he's showing, that Yeshua is that son. Then assuredly let all the house of Israel acknowledge that Yahweh made known this same Yeshua, whom you crucified. He is both Yahweh and Messiah. Right? That's not added in there. That is in the original Aramaic. He is both Yahweh and Messiah. And hearing, they were touched in the heart and said to Simon Peter and the rest of the apostles, men or brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to him, repent and be baptized, immersed, each of you in the name of Yeshua Yahweh. In the name of Yeshua Yahweh, the family name, right? The family name. Yeshua is Yahweh's salvation. Yahweh is the family name. Be baptized in the family name of Yeshua Yahweh for the forgiveness of sins, and that you may receive the gift of the Spirit of holiness, the Ruach of Kadosh. So very clearly, we're baptized in the family name of Yeshua Yahweh. Proverbs 30 in verse 4, right? Really interesting proverb out of nowhere comes. Who has gone up to heaven has come down, right? What did Yeshua say? No man has gone up to heaven. The Son, you know, he's the only one that has gone to heaven. Who has gone to heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in his garment, right? Didn't Yeshua call the wind to stop and on the waters? Who has made all the ends of the earth to rise? What is his name and what is his son's name? Come on, surely you know. And of course we do. I've given this one, I've given messages on the name of Yahweh and the name of Yeshua. And that's why their name is so important, because their name has meaning and it's a family name. And that's why Satan wants to hide that name. And that's why in this time of great rebellion, this great falling away, as the name of Yahweh is revealed in our end time, it's one of the biggest parts of the restoration ministry. I've said this, without the name, you're not part of the restoration ministry, because it's about who is doing the restoring, right? But also because Satan is a deceiver, and there's many Laodiceans out there. We're in the Laodicean era. There's more Laodiceans than any other ones of those congregations in Revelation 2 and 3. And since the Laodiceans don't want to follow judicial order, and they're basically getting all their information from the internet, what happens? They lost the name. They lost the name. And there's people that have been with us in our congregation that knew the name, that hear it, and that know 100% the name is Yahweh and Yeshua Yahweh. And yet some will leave our congregation and they'll stop believing in the name. Some go back to Jesus and G-O-D, and some get into other exotic names and Yahoo, Waka, Waka, and all these other names with, you know, 9 syllables and all things from nonsense that were never there before. Nowhere can you prove it. And they just want to come up with these names. So this is why we see in Proverbs 34, what is his name? What is his son's name? Of course we know. Of course we know. Because the Father is Yahweh in Scripture and the Son is Yeshua, Yahweh. And there is a Father and a Son. That's another thing that people have said to me, that I'm teaching heresy because I'm saying that Yahweh is a Father and Yeshua is... Where in the Bible does it ever say that Yeshua is the Son of Yahweh? And it's like, wow, what are you reading? Like I said, they must be reading the Quran because they certainly are not reading the Bible. Let's go again, Matthew 3. Matthew 3, and I'm only going over a couple here. I can do a whole sermon. I can go over 30 to 40 scriptures showing a father and a son. So I'll go over a couple here just to prove it. Matthew 3, and this is when Yeshua is being baptized, right, by Yochanan, John the Baptist. And look what he says in verse 16. And having been, Yeshua went up immediately from the water, right? And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of Yahweh coming down as a dove and coming upon him, right? The dove, Yonah is the dove, the sign of Jonah. And behold, a voice out of the heaven said, "This is my son, the beloved in whom I am well pleased. This is my son." Where does the Bible ever say that Yeshua is the son of Yahweh? Right here. That's what your Bible says. Anybody that says different is a liar and a deceiver. And like I said, we are the gates of heresy and the gates of people getting the falsehood. It's like, and it doesn't matter. You used to think, okay, well, Christianity, you go back 100 years ago in the 1800s, Christians were not that different than true believers, except for maybe they didn't have the name and they were thinking Sunday is the Sabbath instead of Saturday. But in morality sense, they pretty much lived very similar. Today, it's nothing like that. We see Christianity has gay pastors, and I mean, they get into all kinds of stuff. But now, they used to think, well, hey, at least they're Sabbath keepers, or at least they use the name. Now, it doesn't make a difference. Because some of the worst people with heresy are people that claim they're using the sacred name, and they're not, because they're not using Yahweh and Yeshua. They're using all these other names that are there, and they're into so much more heresy. So now, I'm more cautious when someone's saying, oh, well, you know, they're using, the Tetragrammaton, or... You know, or they believe in the Sabbath, because some are saying now the Sabbath rotates by the month. They just got into so much different heresy because they're believing in some of these false apocryphal books that are not Bible books. They're looking for their doctrine from the apocryphal books instead of Scripture, and they're not following judicial order, because in 2,000 years, Yeshua's congregation never did this. Yeshua literally laid hands on 12, who laid hands on others, who laid hands on others, in an unbroken chain of ordination for 2,000 years, and today we still have that. Today we still have that unbroken chain going from Yeshua till today, and people that don't want to be part of Yahweh's judicial order that are usurping that and going on their own, and they're bringing every kind of chaos. So that's where we're at. Matthew 16, 15 through 17. Matthew 16, Father and a Son. Matthew 16 and verse 15. He said to them, "But you, whom do you say me to be?" This is Yeshua speaking. And answering, Simon Peter said, "You are the Messiah, you are the Mashiach, the Son of the living Elohim." The Son of the living Elohim. And answering, Yeshua said to them, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Yonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father in heaven." My Father in heaven revealed that I am his son, he is my Father. And that's what Yeshua called him. Every single time he referred to Yahweh, except when he was dying on the torture stake, when he said, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," he referred to Yahweh as his Father. Matthew 17, 4 and 5. And answering, Peter said to Yeshua, "Master, it is good for us to be here." This is during the time when the transfiguration was happening. "If you desire, let us make three shelters here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was yet speaking, behold, a radiant cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, the beloved in whom I have been delighting. Hear him. This is my son." Very, very, very clear. John 3:16, right? John 3:16. We see it, one of the most famous scriptures, because they use this at ball games, right? They hold it up in the stands and all this stuff. But it says, for Yahweh so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone believing into him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is a Father, there is a Son. Matthew 11, last scripture on this. For now, Matthew 11 and verse 25. Matthew 11, verse 25 says, answering at that time, Yeshua said, I praise you, Father, Master of heaven and earth, because you hid these things from the sophisticated and intelligent and revealed them to babes. And that's why I say, wow, Father, thank you that I'm just simple and ignorant enough that I get this, that I get it. I thank him every day for his truth. And every day I see more heresy, I thank Yahweh even more. He says, yes, Father, for it was pleasing before you. All things are yielded up to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son proposes to reveal him. And that's why, man, you got to be careful. You got to stay off the internet. You got to stay off this spiritual pornography. You have to stay away from all of these falsities, because if not, you will be deceived. That's one of the main reasons I'm seeing why Yahweh sends his people to the wilderness in the end time. It's not just the mark of the beast and that we can't buy and sell. That's part of it, you know. We got to be somewhere where Yahweh can rain down manna for us and food. But a big part of it is to get us away from society. The evilness, the immorality, but also the heresy. Because people that stay in there, and I see it, I see around the world, brethren that are don't have congregations, that are out on their own, most of them fall away. Sad to say, but most of them fall away. And it's because they're not sticking to the trunk of the tree. They're going and they're getting into these bad things. So all true children know that Yahweh as the Father and Yeshua's eternal being as the Son. Those who deny this are just deceivers. So that's the first proof. Like I said, I went over it pretty quickly. I have messages on this, so you can go online, you can listen to the messages. Yeshua definitely preexisted. He definitely is called Elohim in Scripture, and he is called Yahweh in Scripture. Not Yahweh the Father, they're not the same being, Yahweh the Son. They are two separate distinct beings. They are one by the Ruach HaKodesh. There is one Ruach, there's one Spirit. I say it's like a mind, one mind that is in both of them. They have the same goals. They have the same purpose. They have the same thoughts, everything. So now, the second thing I want to prove today on Yom Teruah, on Yeshua's day of his birth, is prove he came in the flesh as a human being through the virgin birth. And again, I'm going to prove it from the Tanakh, and I'm going to prove from the Brit Hadashah. So it's not just in one place, but it is everywhere. Ezekiel 14, 13 and 14. Ezekiel 14, 13 and 14 says, Son of man, when a land sins against me by traitorous betraying, then I will stretch out my hand on it, and I will shatter the staff of bread to it. And I will send famine on it, and I will cut off from it man and beast. And though these three men were in its midst, Noah, Daniel, and Job, right? Three, if not the most righteous men that ever lived. By their righteousness, they should only deliver their souls, declared Adonai Yahweh. So, right? If Noah, Job, and Daniel were there, they couldn't even save their family, right? Why is that? Because the Bible is very clear. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. So your life is only worth one life, your own. So if you lived a perfect life, if you never sinned from the day you were born to the day you die, yes, you'd get eternal life because you wouldn't have a death penalty hanging over you. But you wouldn't save your son. You wouldn't save your wife. You wouldn't save your friend. You wouldn't save your neighbor. You wouldn't save anyone else because it's life for life. Only by Yeshua being the eternal creator that created everything makes his life worth as much as everything he created. So if Yeshua is not Elohim, then we are in trouble because a human being can't die for everyone. He can't. Why would one human being's life that's born be worth all the lives of everyone that ever lived? It doesn't make any sense. And like it says here, very clearly, the scripture cannot be broken. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. If Noah, Job, and Daniel stood before me, they could only save themselves. And of course they can anyway, because every person is sinned. Every person is sinned except Yeshua, because he was Elohim and eternal. So, a angel or human being cannot die for your sins. Only Elohim can. Colossians 1 and verse 12. Colossians 1 and verse 12 says, so that you may joyfully give thanks to Elohim the Father, who has enlightened and made us a worthy inheritance of the saints, and has delivered us out of the authority of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have obtained salvation and forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible Elohim, the right of the firstborn of all creation. Right? He is the image, like it says in Genesis 1:26. Yahweh made us in his own image and his likeness. We grow into his likeness. For all things were created through him, Yeshua, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth. Again, creation, all things created by him and through him. The visible and the invisible. Whether imperial thrones or dominions or angelic orders or authorities or things that were in his hand, all things were in his hand and all things created by him, right? So every cherub was created by him. Everything ever created was created by him. And he is before all things, and by him all things are sustained, right? So everything is created by Yeshua. He created every human being, and that's why his worth is worth at least equal or more to everything that he created. And that's the reason why he can qualify to pay the penalty of the sins of every human being. And look what John 8 says. John chapter 8, verse 21, and then I'll drop down to verse 23. He says, then Yeshua said to them again, I go, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sins. Where I go, you are not able to come. He's talking about him going up to heaven. In verse 23, he says, and he said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are from this world, I am not from this world. Therefore, I said to you, you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. If you don't believe he is the I am, and he is. In Exodus 3, he is the I am that's there. It says the messenger of Yahweh appeared to Moses from the bush. The messenger of Yahweh is Yeshua. Hayah, Asha, Hayah. He is the I am. He is the I am. And unless you believe it, unless you believe that he is an eternal being who created all things, as we just read in Colossians, you will die in your sins, because a human being cannot pay the penalty for your sins. And it is simply pride and just evilness of these people that are being led by this spirit of anti-Messiah, denying that Yeshua is Elohim and denying the virgin birth, denying he came into flesh. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Look at what Philippians 2 and verse 5 says. It says, for think this within you, which mind was also in Messiah Yeshua. Don't you want the same mind he has? It says, who existed in the very form of Elohim. Who existed in the very form of Elohim. Thought it not robbery to be the equal with Elohim, right? In judicial order, Yahweh is above him. He said, the Father is greater than me. And the Father is always above everything, because all life comes from him, right? So they're both Elohim. It says that Yeshua was Yahweh's partner, right? Which shows equality. But here it says he thought it not robbery to be equal with Elohim. But in judicial order, of course, Yahweh is always above everything. But Yeshua emptied himself, taking the image of a servant, having become in the image of the sons of men. And being found in form like a man, he humbled himself, having become obedient unto death, even the death of a torture stake. For this reason, Elohim highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Yeshua every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Yeshua Messiah is Yahweh, that Yeshua Messiah is Yahweh, Yahweh the Son, to the glory of Yahweh his Father. How much clearer can it become? How can you read these scriptures and not see it? It's because, like I said, the next step of someone not believing that Yeshua is Elohim and the eternal being is they will deny the New. You have to. You have to deny the New Testament, because there's too many scriptures here that clearly, clearly show this. Yeshua preexisted as a second being in the Yahweh family and gave up his eternal status to come into human form for 33 years. So yes, for 33 years he was a human being. You know, this pagan thing of half man and half deity, that is not the case. He came. That's why the virgin birth was so important. Because through the spirit of Yahweh, there was a human mother. There was not a human father. Through the spirit of Yahweh, Yahweh conceived, as we're going to see, Yeshua, and he came, he put his divinity aside, he came in a human body, and for 33 years, he was a human being, right? How did he do all his miracles? By faith and by the power of Yahweh. That's the way he did it. Matthew 1 in verse 17. Matthew 1 in verse 17. So now let's go to the virgin birth and let's see it very clearly. We'll see it in the Brit Hadashah and we'll see it in the Tanakh. Matthew 1 in verse 17 says, so first it's telling before this, right? It starts in chapter 1. The book of the genealogies of Yeshua Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So it's starting with David, right? Because it wants to show the promise to David was here of an earthly son that was going to come by his loins. Luke is the official genealogy. And Luke's genealogy goes all the way back to Yahweh, again showing the son of Yahweh. That's very clear. This one is trying to prove, because this is Joseph's genealogy, it's trying to show though, because Joseph also came from King David, the stepfather, it's also showing that Yeshua was the promised son of David that's coming from 2 Samuel. So, verse 17 says, and he's going, this one fathered this one fathered this one, and he goes through the whole thing, and then verse 17 says, so all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation of Babylon until the Messiah, 14 generations. 14, 14, and 14. So why is this important? Why is he even going into it? Because it's very interesting that we know in Hebrew numbers mean a lot, right? So originally there were no numbers, there were only letters. And every letter had a number value. It's called gematria. So the Aleph was a 1, the Bet is a 2. So you have 1 through 10, you have 10 through 100, and then you have 100, 200, 300, and 400. There's 22 letters. And every letter has a value. And that's why by looking at the letters and knowing what each letter's value is, you come up with the gematria of every word. Interesting enough, David, King David, his gematria is 14. And that's why it's saying from this one to this one was 14 generations, from this one to this one, 14 generations. Number 3 is the number of resurrection. We know that. So it's showing 14, 14, and 14 three times, showing that Yeshua and his resurrection is from that eternal line of King David that's going to last forever. That's what's there. That's why the number 14 is important. Interesting enough, too, if you put 14, 14, 14, and you come up with 42, because like I said, this genealogy is incomplete. This is not the heavenly genealogy, but the incomplete one to break the curse of Jeconiah for Joseph the stepfather. I go over this in another message. But 42 is what? The number of stops in the wilderness. 6 times 7. So 6 being the number of man. So we see that it's incomplete. And here we are in the end time. We have 7 more stops to go, and our wilderness journey is just starting. But you got to get there first. Like I said, the only road to the promised land is through the wilderness. And if you don't get in the wilderness, you'll never experience it. And that's what Yahweh has for us now. So here we are, and we're looking at this, right? Now let's go to verse 18. And the birth of Yeshua Messiah was this way. For his mother Miriam had been betrothed to Yosef, the stepfather. Before the coming together of them, she was found having babe in the womb by the Holy Spirit. And going back 2,000 years ago, rabbis 2,000 years ago admitted that there was a virgin birth. They just tried to say that Miriam was in fornication. You know, that it was out of fornication that this happened. But they admitted because they knew it. They knew it was a virgin birth. They knew that there was a human mother and not a human father. It says, but her husband Yosef, being just and not willing to make her a public example, he purposed to divorce her secretly, right? Because they weren't officially married yet. They were only engaged. But in the betrothal period, it's like being married. But if there's unfaithfulness, you could break the betrothal. Once you do your vows, till death do you part, there's no way to break it. And as he was thinking about these things, behold, a cherub of Yahweh was seen by him in a dream, saying, Yosef, son of David, do not be afraid to take Miriam as your wife, for that in her is generated by the Ruach HaKodesh, by the Holy Spirit. So very clearly here, there's a virgin birth. And if you don't believe it, you don't believe the New Testament. And then, you know, where are you going with it?
for that in her is generated by the Ruach HaKodesh. And she will bear a son, and you will call his name Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. That's why we know this is in Aramaic or Hebrew, not in Greek, because that's the way the syntax works. His name is Yeshua, for he will save his people from his sins. What does Yeshua mean? Yahweh's salvation. He will save his people from their sins. And all this happened so that might be fulfilled that which was spoken by Yahweh through the prophet Isaiah, right? Behold, the virgin will conceive in her womb and will bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel. Elohim is with us, which is interpreted, our Elohim is with us, right? Isaiah 7:14. He's quoting it word for word. How could you not believe in the virgin birth? It's right here. And being aroused from sleep, Yosef did as the cherub of Yahweh commanded him and took his wife, and he did not know her until she bore her son, the firstborn, and called his name Yeshua. So she was a virgin. He did not know her until she bore her son. She did not have relations with anybody. She was a virgin, as we're going to see in Hebrew. An alma means never had relations with a man. And Yahweh put through his spirit a seed inside of her, and she had a child. So clearly this was a virgin birth generated by Yahweh, his father. Verse 23, Emmanuel, Elohim is with us. So like I said, you could believe it or not, but this is what the New Testament says, okay? So if you don't believe it, then you don't believe the Bible. Then you're getting off and believing whatever else you're going to believe, but you're not believing the Bible. So now let's go to Isaiah 7. Does Isaiah 7 say anything different? Absolutely not. Isaiah 7 is one of the most powerful, amazing scriptures that we can go into, and it shows the virgin birth. So let me start in the beginning. What is Isaiah 7 all about to begin with? It happened in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Ramallah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to war against it, but were not able to do battle against it. And the house of David was told, saying, Syria is allied with Ephraim, and his heart and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake from the wind. And Yahweh said to Isaiah, go out and meet Ahaz, you and your son, Shirajah Yashub, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool to the highway of the fuller's field. And say to him, be on guard and be calm. Do not fear nor be timid of heart because of the two tails of these smoking firebrands, because of the fierce anger of Rezin in Syria and the son of Remaliah. So here's the situation, right? Judah, which is one tribe, the tribes of Israel, Ephraim, are 10 tribes, right? And Ephraim is with Syria, who's very powerful, and they're all going to come and fight with Judah. So Judah is thinking, that's it. We're going to cease to exist. We're not going to be there anymore. This is why the prophecy has to come, because Yahweh is going to remind them, no, no, no. You can't cease to exist. I made a promise to you that until the Mashiach comes, who is the son of David, right? The kingdom has to go on there. And this is what the thing is all about, that this war is coming on. Judah is afraid of ceasing to exist, and Yahweh is going to show him a sign to prove to him that you will not cease to exist before the Mashiach comes, the son of David. So now go down to verse 9. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, right? That's the capital there. And the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, you will not be established. Now, in English, the word you could be singular or plural. In the Aramaic and in the Hebrew, it's not. Very clearly we know. So here he's saying, if you singular, he's talking to Ahaz. If Ahaz will not believe, Ahaz will not be established. And Yahweh spoke to Ahaz saying, ask a sign from Yahweh, your Elohim. Again, singular to Ahaz. Make deep the request or make it high, saying, ask a sign. Remember the signs that Yahweh would give? Ask the sun to move backward. I mean, Yahweh, when he's going to do a sign, he's going to do a sign that we're going to know it's his. The sign of Bethlehem, you know, the sign in the heavens that happened with the star of Bethlehem. These are things that man cannot manipulate. So when Yahweh is going to do a sign, you better believe it's going to be a big one. And Ahaz said, I will not ask nor will I attempt Yahweh. He was scared to death. So he didn't want to ask for a sign because he was afraid. So what does Yahweh say in verse 13? He said, hear now, O house of David, is it too little for you? Now it's plural. So now he's not talking to Ahaz anymore. He's talking to the whole house of Judah, the house of David. Hear now, O house of David, is it too little that you, plural, weary men, but will you, plural, also weary, my Elohim. So Yahweh himself will give you a sign. So here's the prophetic insert here. Yahweh says now, okay, you don't want to ask for a sign. I'm going to prove to you that nothing will happen in Judah until the Messiah comes. And you know how you're going to know it's the Messiah? By this sign. Then he says, behold, hine. Whenever you see that word hine, it means there's a prophecy coming, a future prophecy coming. So he says, hine, behold, the virgin, the Alma, the virgin, the woman who is never, the young woman who has never had relations with a man, will conceive and will bring forth her son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Elohim is with us. So here it is very clearly that a young maiden who has never known a man, a virgin, an Alma, and if you look the other words up, you'll see that the other words that could have been used here, patchouli, whatever, sometimes they can be for a woman who is had her husband die, and she's a widow, but she's currently not having relations. And Alma is a woman that has never, ever had a relationship with a man. So the word is the right word to use here, Alma, for virgin, and will conceive and bring forth a son. A woman who never had relations with a man. What did we just read in Matthew 1? That Miriam, the mother of Yeshua, who was a young maiden, she was probably only 16 or 17 at that time, had never had relations with a man. She was a virgin. And she bore Yeshua. So very clearly, the virgin will conceive and will bring forth a son, and she'll call his name Emmanuel. Elohim is with us. Is it Elohim? Of course it is. Right? So it's very, very clear here. We have two witnesses. We have the book of Isaiah, and we have the book of Matthew. That this is a virgin birth. There's nothing else. Because if it was just that a woman is going to bear a child, that's happened about 8 billion times, you know, maybe 50 billion since Adam and Eve. And that's not a sign. A woman having a child just isn't a sign. But a woman that never had relations with a man, having a virgin birth, that's a sign. That's a sign from Yahweh. Because that's going to be a special child. Because it's impossible to happen. It's only happened once in the history of man, and that was when Yeshua was born. So very, very clearly here, wow. Anybody who doesn't believe in the virgin birth, not only don't they believe in the New Testament, they don't believe in the Tanakh, they don't believe in the Bible whatsoever. And like I said, you might as well start reading the Quran, you know, because that's where you're heading toward. And I've seen it. I've seen people that were with us that wound up leaving. And they got into all kinds of heresies. They stopped using the proper name of Yahweh and Yeshua. And unfortunately, that's their loss. But Yahweh very, very clearly shows that this is messianic prophecy. Now go over one more chapter over here to chapter 9. Is the Messiah eternal? And is he also going to be born from a woman? Yes, yes. In chapter 9, in verse 6, for unto us a child is born, right? To us a son is given, and the government is on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty El, the Prince of Peace, the one who fathered everlasting life. And out of these four titles that the Messiah will have, three of them can only be for Elohim. Okay, three of them can only be for, the only one possibly that could be for a man is the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom. That possibly could be a human being, you know, most likely not, but possibly. But the other ones, Wonderful Counselor, Yoeh Peletz, that's only could be for Yahweh, Mighty El, of course, that can only be for Yahweh, and the one who fathered everlasting life, that is not for a human being. So very, very clearly here, a child is going to be born who is Elohim. Just like the scripture said, Emmanuel, Elohim, is with us. There is no end to the increase of his government and of peace on the throne of David, right? The son of David, that's what it's all about. And on his kingdom to order it and to sustain it with justice and with righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will do this, and he has done it. And that's why Yeshua came first as a child to fulfill this scripture. And now he's coming back from heaven as King of Kings and Master of Masters to rule from his throne for the 1,000-year millennial to finish the restoration work that we are blessed to be part of right now. And after everything is restored for the 1,000 years, then the kingdom will come. The new Jerusalem will come down from heaven and it will go on forever and ever. So we're living in a tough time, But it's not the end of the world. It is world without end. It's the end of Satan's society. That's the good thing. So yes, Satan's society is going to end. It's going to come crashing down. Commercial Babylon is going to end. And basically, you got to decide which society do you want to belong to. Do you want to belong to commercial Babylon that is going to cease to exist very shortly? Or do you want to belong to the kingdom of Yahweh, which is forever, this kingdom here, by the Prince of Peace? So very, very clearly, Messiah is Elohim and is going to be born human. Like I said, Virgin Alma, she could only have been a virgin, right? That's what the word means. Alma never means anything but a young maiden who has never had relations with a man. And what would the sign be if it was just a woman having a baby? But it is a woman who never had relations with a man. That is the sign. As a matter of fact, let's go back. I just want to read the study note there in Isaiah 7, verse 14. It says, Emmanuel means Elohim is with us. It clearly shows that although the Messiah will be born from a virgin, he also will be Elohim. The situation is that Yahweh has already promised that the Messiah would come through the seed of David, and now Syria is threatening to destroy Judah. Yahweh is giving a sign to show that Judah will not be destroyed before the Mashiach will be born, and to show he is the Mashiach, he will be born of a virgin, a woman who never had relations with a man. If this was simply a statement about a young woman having a baby, where would be the sign? Also, in English, the word you is ambiguous and can mean one person or multiple people. In Hebrew, this is not the case. In verse 9, 11, 16, and 17, the you is in the singular to Ahaz. We said that. However, in verse 13 and 14, which are insertion prophetic verses about Messiah, the you is plural, speaking to the nation. So that's very, very clear. So, wow. Man, 15, 20 years ago, I would have never thought. I knew there'd be heresy in the end time. I knew that people would quit on certain things, you know, maybe even the Sabbath or whatever. But I never in my life thought I'd live to see people denying Yeshua's deity, denying Yeshua's as the son of Yahweh, you know, denying the virgin birth. But we're living in that time. We're living in the time of the great falling away. So let's continue on here a little bit more before we finish up. Luke 17 and verse 19, because it's prophesied. It's prophesied. And he, Yeshua, said to him, rising up, go, your faith is giving you life. It's your faith that gives you life. You've got to believe. And if you don't believe, like he said to Ahaz, you will not be established. You have to believe. Unless you believe he is the I am. Unless you believe he is the I am, you will not have your sins forgiven. And being questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of Yahweh comes, he answered them and said, the kingdom of Yahweh does not come with observation, nor will they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of Yahweh is in your midst. He was there right in front of them, right? And it's got to be inside of you. It's got to be something that's burning in your heart. And he said to the disciples, days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see. And they will say to you, lo here or lo there, do not go away nor follow. For as flashes lightning from heaven, this is from Matthew 24, 2. And all that is under heaven is lit, such will be the Son of Man in his day, right? But first, before he returns, first there's got to be the great falling away, and look what it says will happen. But first it is necessary that he, Yeshua, suffer many things and be rejected by that generation. Wow. Yeshua will be rejected, and we're seeing it. We're living it. We're seeing it with our own eyes. And then he says, as was the day of Noah, will be the day of the Son of Man, as was the day of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? So he's talking about this time we're living in now. There's no doubt about that. But he's saying that people will deny him. And we are living it and we are seeing it. Only those with true faith will make it, because Yeshua is going to be rejected in the end time. And that's why all of this fake religious spirit that's out there, of people that have no faith and no conviction, all they have is a religious belief, it will go by the wayside. Because we're seeing religious beliefs can change overnight, but faith is what brings you into his kingdom. 1 John 2 and verse 18. 1 John 2 and verse 18. And this is really, really serious, because like I said, we are living that time right now. 1 John 2 and verse 18. He says, little children, it is the last hour, and as you heard that the anti-Messiah is coming, even now many anti-Messiah have risen up, from which you know it's the last hour, and we're seeing it. Anybody that doesn't believe in the Father and the Son is anti-Messiah, as we're going to see here. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they were of us, they would have remained with us. But they left so it might be revealed that they're not of us. So we have this, you know. Unfortunately, you have wheat and chaff. You have people that will come into our midst, and that's what happens. Many are called, few are chosen. And sometimes people will come for a month, sometimes a year, sometimes several years. But if they leave, the scripture is very clear, they're not part of us. If they have the truth, like I said, once you get to Mount Zion, where do you go from there? Once you have all the truth, the dead are asleep. They're not in heaven. You know, there is no eternal hellfire. The thousand-year millennial reign, the name of Yahweh Yeshua, and on and on and on. 27 lessons that are up there. Once you have the truth and you get it, where do you go from there? You know where they go? They go downhill really, really fast. They start believing in every heresy and every lie and every false belief that they can find on the internet. And they think they're smart because they're finding this certain, you know, apocryphal book on the internet that was written by some guy 2,000 years ago that we don't even know their name, that makes believe that they're a prophet or they're this or they're that. So they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they were of us, they would have remained with us. But they left so there might be revealed they are not of us. And I can tell you one thing. Every elder since Yeshua and the apostles and every true believer since Yeshua and the apostles believed in the virgin birth. They all did. There is not one true believer that denied the virgin birth. Or Yeshua's deity for that matter. Remember Thomas when he saw him? My master and my Elohim. When doubting Thomas saw Yeshua. And he put his hands in the holes in his wrists and in his side, right? So anybody who denies this is the spirit of anti-Messiah, and they left us because they're not part of us, unfortunately. And you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I did not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because every lie is not of the truth, right? So I'm preaching to the choir. A sermon like this will go out, and brethren will thank me and say, wow, what a great message you gave on that, but I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. But we're reconfirming it for who? For the new people that are being deceived out there. Who is a liar? Because first, like I said, every lie is not of the truth. And who is the liar except the one denying Yeshua is the Messiah? And he can't be the Messiah unless he's Elohim. That's what your Bible says. Who is the liar except the one denying Yeshua is the Messiah? This is anti-Messiah, the one denying the Father and the Son. Right? So our brother Judah, they may be in blinders right now, but unless you have the Son, you don't have the Father. And they've been fighting this for 2,000 years. We lived there for over 20 years. I've seen it over and over and over every day of my life in Israel with the rabbis and with the people. And their problems that they're having today in the day of Jacob's trouble is because they're rejecting their salvation. And that's going to change real soon, at least with a small remnant, but not with all of them. But the one is the anti-Messiah denying the Father and the Son. Everyone denying the Son does not have the Father. The one confessing the Son also has the Father. In the end time, it doesn't say go back to the rabbis who've been deceived for 2,000 years. Go back to the core. Go back to judicial order. Go back to the original congregation that Yeshua laid hands on the 12 apostles who laid hands, who laid hands, who laid hands, and here we are today. That line of succession has never stopped. Read my book, The Gates of Hell Will Not Prevail Against Her. You could download it for free online or write us for a free copy. But I go into the whole history in that book in more than 450 pages, a gigantic book with hundreds of references of the early believers until today, and it's never stopped. Everyone denying the Son does not have the Father. The one confessing the Son also has the Father. Then what you heard from the beginning, let it abide in you, right? These people that had the truth, they left it. They lost their faith because they left it because of their pride. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will abide both in the Son and the Father. Very clearly. Just believe what you were taught, what you believe. But they don't do it. They leave. Some of them do it just for power. You know, because they're not getting power. They're not getting position that they want in the congregation. They want to go on their own. And that's what they do. This is the promise which he promised us, even everlasting life. So very, very clearly, if you deny the Son, you don't have the Father. It's not the rabbis we should be looking for in the end time. We should be going back to Yeshua's original congregation, which is here today. Like I said, never had a person ever be able to, 27 lessons we have, hopefully we'll get another lesson up this year, but never, ever, ever had somebody be able to undo anything in those 27 lessons because it's the word of Yahweh. Last scripture here, 1 John 5, let's go to chapter 5. 1 John 5 says, everyone believing that Yeshua is the Messiah has been regenerated from Yahweh, right? This is the ministry of reconciliation, of regeneration. And everyone who loves him who begets also loves the one who has been begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of Elohim when we love Yahweh and we keep his commandments. For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not a burden to us. No, they're a blessing. Because everything having been regenerated of Yahweh overcomes the world, and this is the victory which overcomes the world, even our faith, right? So that's the point, not compromising with the world, but overcoming the world. Drop down to verse 9. If we accept the testimony of men, how much greater is the testimony of Yahweh, right? If we're going to believe men, how much greater is Yahweh's testimony? Because this is the testimony of Yahweh, which he has testified about his son. So I'm not giving you Don's version of this. I'm giving you Yahweh's. Yahweh wrote Isaiah 7:14 about the virgin giving birth. Yahweh inspired Matthew to write Matthew 1, 18 through 25 about the virgin birth happening. So this is the testimony of Yahweh, which he testified about his son. He had to give this testimony because it's the most important thing in Scripture, because a man can't die for your sins. Everything in the New Testament is based on Yeshua being the Messiah and having the authority to pay the penalty of our sins. And if he was just a man that was born and died, he didn't have that authority. So this is Yahweh's testimony, and anybody who denies it is calling Yahweh a liar, because Yahweh says it by the mouth of two witnesses. He says it in Isaiah and he says it in Matthew. Because this is the testimony of Yahweh, which he has testified about his son. The one believing in the son of Yahweh has the testimony in himself. The one not believing Yahweh has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony which Yahweh has testified concerning his son. And they are, they're liars. They're liars and deceivers, and just cut them off. Don't listen to them. Don't go on the internet. Don't look at any of this evil stuff, the spiritual pornography, because it's absolutely 100% evil. And this is the testimony that Yahweh gave us everlasting life, and this life is in his Son. The one having the Son has life. The one not having the Son of Yahweh does not have life. If they're denying Yeshua's deity, if they're denying him as the Son of Yahweh, they don't have life. I wrote these things to you, the ones believing in the name of the Son of Yahweh, Yahshua, Yahweh's salvation, that you may know that you have everlasting life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of Yahweh. The name of the Son of Yahweh. It's not Jesus. That is a hybrid name that comes from paganism, from Jesus, from the Son of Zeus. His name is Yahshua, Yahweh's salvation. Yahshua. Not just salvation. Yeshua is just the word salvation. It is Yahshua, Yahweh's salvation. And that is why his name is there, to show who salvation is. It is Yahweh's salvation. So, here we are. Wow, how quick an hour can go, right? I have barely scratched the surface. There are hundreds of scriptures proving Yeshua's preexistence and being the Son of Yahweh. Like I said, I have many messages. You can go online and listen to it. I've condensed them here with some of the most powerful testimony, and Yahweh's witness himself I gave you. Yahweh's witness that Yeshua is his son, that Yeshua was born of a virgin birth, and Yeshua is an eternal being. But the lying spirit of anti-Messiah only tries to go to one or two misinterpreted scriptures from Hebrew that they don't even speak to try to bring doubt to covenant believers. And Yahweh only allows this. Why is he allowing it? To separate the wheat from the chaff. Like it says, if they left us, they were never part of us. So in the end now, there will be some, and we haven't had a lot. As a matter of fact, a very small amount, to be honest with you. And for every person that's left, we probably had 100 to 200 more come in. We are growing more now than we ever have. But for those few that have left us, sad to say that it's Yahweh separating the wheat from the chaff. He separates the fake believers from his true remnant. Praise Yahweh for his truth, salvation, through Yeshua Yahweh, the eternal Son of Yahweh, his Father. Amen. And hallelujah and haksameach.